There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains because they had rebelled against the words of God. I've talked to people before that desperate. Maybe you are that desperate. Psalm 107 that we're focused on this month and next month reminds us in its opening refrain that God is good, God is faithful, and that God is involved with people like you and me. God is good, God is faithful, and God is involved with you and me. This is part of our series, My Story, My Song. We're using Psalm 107 because it reminds us of that, that God is involved and that God is good and faithful. This is part of my story, and it's part of your story, and we want to tell that story. So we're having testimonies each week. We also are seeing in Psalm 107 that God showed up again and again in different ways, faithful to people like us. So today we're going to look at Psalm 107. We're going to look at a story about Jesus and then turn to ourselves. Last week, you could divide Psalm 107 up into the refrain or the chorus, if you think of a song, and then a whole series of stanzas. I would call them verses like you would with a song, but that's confusing since the individual lines we refer to as verses. So stanzas, and there's six or seven of them. And each stanza has a theme. Last week, the theme was the thirsty soul, the needy soul, and how God meets that thirst and that need. And in each stanza, we're called back to that opening chorus, God is good, God is faithful, God is involved with you and me. Today, we're looking at the second stanza, verses 10 through 16. And if I had to name a theme for that, I would say that there is freedom for those who are captive. Whether that's captivity in an earthly sense, there's any number of things that can imprison us or chain us or hold us down. And certainly in a spiritual sense, there's such a thing as bondage and imprisonment and captivity to sin and to death. That's the whole curse of sin. And the story, the good news story here in this psalm, as we'll hear it again in the New Testament through Jesus, is that God brings freedom from sin, freedom from the consequences of sin, freedom to the captives. So I want to look first with you at Psalm 107, at this second stanza. And I've titled this section, Freedom for a New Generation. I called it that because this is written to a particular generation in the life of Israel. This is in the time or just after the time of the exile, and it has in view that period in Israel's history after the flourishing kingdom, think King David, King Solomon, in the promised land, the temple to worship the Lord, the land belonged to them. This is after that when it was all lost and they were exiled. And this generation had to learn for itself again what it is to call upon the Lord. So literally some of them were prisoners in misery and in chains, captive in a foreign land, in Babylon. They dwelt in spiritual darkness, away from the light of God's promise and presence that they knew back home in Jerusalem, because they had rebelled against the words of God. They had spurned the counsel of the Most High. Verse 12 says they were humbled. Their hearts were humbled through the situation, through their labor and their work and their situation. They stumbled. There was no one to help them. So kind of like last week, verse 13 says, then they cried out. You're reading along in Psalms and you think, oh, one week this bad thing happened and then the next week they cried out and God helped them. But there were generations that passed. It took generations to learn the humility of heart, to once again turn and cry out to the Lord, to be repentant, to seek God's favor once again. But they did cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And verse 13, the second half says, God saved them out of their distresses. Saved them out of their distresses. God rescued them out of that. Now, this was something the previous generations had known. That's why I call this freedom for a new generation. If you go back many generations, their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were slaves in Egypt. If you remember the Exodus story and the Moses story, they were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. But God sent a deliverer, Moses, to bring his people out of slavery, out of Egypt, cross the Red Sea, through the wilderness, through the desert, right? We talked about that a little bit last week, the thirsty places, to bring them to the promised land, the land that God had promised to Abraham. And there they made a home. Those ancestors of theirs knew what it was to be delivered from captivity, to be freed from captivity. But every generation, this is still true now, every generation has to learn, has to trust, has to accept, has to turn to God on their own terms. You aren't saved by the faith of your parents. You can be instructed by, taught by, the faith of your parents. But each generation has to reckon with God on their own. So this new generation in exile learned again what it was to hope, to trust, to call out to God. And one of the things I learned from this is that God is not an I told you so God. He didn't set them free and say, I told you this is what was going to happen. You know, get taken captive, labor until your hearts are humble. But rather, God keeps coming to us, to each new generation. God comes freshly with help and hope, with God's goodness, God's faithfulness. God is involved with you and me and with each new generation. And that's what God did with this generation of Israel. I want to fast forward to the Gospels, to the Gospel of Luke. I had two readings today. I chose them because they both made some reference to what we read in Psalm 107. The first part of the Gospel reading was in chapter 1. And there it's Zacharias, the priest, and he's prophesying. He's pronouncing a blessing, a prayer, a hopeful prayer, over his newborn, John. This is John, who would grow up to be known as John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, because his mother, Zacharias' wife, was Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Luke 1, in addition to all the nativity story about Mary and Joseph and the baby, has the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth and John. And an angel messenger came to Zacharias, as he did to Mary and to Joseph, and said, you're going to have a baby. Now, this was not the miraculous birth that Jesus had, but Zacharias and Elizabeth were old. It was an older cousin, and they were unable to have a child. And so this was still miraculous in that sense, kind of like Abraham and Sarah of old. And the angel said, you will have a baby, and he will be a great prophet. So in our text today, in Luke 1, 76 through 79, Zacharias, John has been born. Zacharias is speaking over his newborn. It says, you, child, you'll be the prophet of the Most High God. You're going to go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of God, that's that hesed, that compassion, that faithfulness, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. Now he's talking about the Messiah, about Jesus, light in the darkness, the sunrise from on high, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the way of peace. He's quoting that first line of our Psalms reading. There were those who dwelt in darkness and the shadow of death. That was written about the exiles, 500-something B.C., Now, over the infant John, Zacharias is saying, you're going to be a prophet for the coming Messiah who will shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. This is the same, I guess what I'm saying is, the same God who is the one who frees the captives and shines in the darkness in Psalm 107 is the same one who we know to be Jesus, the Messiah, who also frees the captives. This is Zacharias talking to John, but about what Jesus is going to do. He's going to bring light to those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, just like the psalm talked about. Fast forward a little bit to Luke 4. This is the account of Jesus, the grown man, reading the scriptures from Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown. And you've heard this passage before. He unrolls it. He finds the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Isaiah. You can find it in the Old Testament. This is Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." It's those same things that were said about God in Psalm 107, right? That he would bring them out of darkness and the shadow of death, break their bands apart, shatter gates of bronze, cut bars of iron asunder, set free the captive. Jesus is reading Isaiah. It says, "This is why God has sent me, to proclaim release, freedom to the captives, to set free the oppressed." And then he rolls up the scroll and says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," because he is the Messiah. God is still bringing people out of darkness, out of shadow. God is still breaking apart what binds and imprisons us. He did it with his people of old he did it in earthly terms with their exile, with their actual chains, their actual imprisonment in Babylon, to point to the spiritual reality of what he would accomplish once and for all people. So that was freedom for a new generation. Jesus brings freedom for all generations. For all who trust and believe, God is breaking the bands of their captivity to sin and freeing the captives from sin and death to live in Christ. Well, I've titled this series, "My Story, My Song." What is your story? What is your song? Do you identify yet with Psalm 107? Its opening declaration is that God is good, God is faithful, God is with us, God is involved with you and me. Maybe you identified last week with the thirsty soul, the soul that needs, that God meets that deepest spiritual need at the point of our greatest need with our soul. Sometimes it's in earthly terms, but it's to point us towards that spiritual reality. Maybe this week you relate with the second stanza. You've experienced darkness or that shadow of death or being caught by something, feeling chained, bound by some circumstance or sin or something in life. Have you, as it says in the Psalms, have you cried out to God and asked for help? Are you still waiting for God's help? Take heart. Take heart. One of the descriptors in today's verses are that there were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death. I was also reminded of Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." God is with us. And that is the constant refrain of Psalm 107. It's the constant refrain of all of Scripture. And it's the living refrain of who Jesus was. That God is good, God is faithful, and in Jesus, God is with us, involved with you and me. And that is good news. So if these are things that you're struggling with right now, I would commend today's Scripture. Go back and read and pray and meditate on this stanza or another stanza of 107, the one that most closely connects with you. And then go back to those first three verses that declare God is good, God is faithful, God is involved with you and me. And just rest on those. Take heart in those. That is good news for God's people. Amen.